السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters who listen, our receivers, and this Juma, those who are listening over the radio station. We know that we have come to almost the end of Rabiul Awwal. And this month of Rabiul Awwal, as I have repeatedly said, that a kind of enthusiasm, a kind of excitement, a kind of joy, a kind of happiness permeates throughout the world. And it is only right and appropriate that our love for Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be increased in the month of Rabiul Awwal. However, there is no such thing as practice upon the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or discussion on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be limited to the month of Rabiul Awwal. In the month of Rabiul Awwal, all the conferences, the seminars, all the seerah jalsas and all the other programs that took place, the amount of information that was gained by the listeners is phenomenal. If we have to look at the world at large, which country of the world they did not have seminars, conferences and big jalsas? Some of them lasted the whole night, some of them lasted a few days. But the fact is that so much of information, so much of knowledge, so much of teachings of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was imparted. So does it not become essential and necessary for us to then take a stop? At the end of the year, at the end of the month, many people take some kind of stop. So we should also take stock that after all these bayans, all these speeches, all these waaz and all these nasihats and all these programs, how much of those teachings have we brought into our lives? If we haven't brought anything into our lives and it was just for the listening, then we have gained nothing except some knowledge. And as far as knowledge is concerned, if we are only going to pile knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge, then the description of the Quran Sharif of such people who just pile knowledge upon knowledge and no practice is like those donkeys and mules on whom you load a number of books. It doesn't make that donkey any more respectable just because it has got a number of books loaded on it. I mentioned previously also, I think in this masjid and many other places, that if you have to look at the computer nowadays, then which book is not on the computer? The Quran Sharif, its translations, its meaning, so many are on the computer, different translations. Look at the books of Hadith Sharif, whether it is Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, so many other books of Ahadith, you will find it on the computer. If you look after books of Fiqh and jurisprudence, you will find Hidayah and so many other books of jurisprudence on the computer. But that hasn't made the computer a very respectable personality, that now we will say that this computer deserves great respect, it should be garlanded, it should be given some kind of position in society just because it has got a lot of information recorded in it. So this is our condition, that if after listening to all that, if all that we have gained is just knowledge, then at least to some extent we will say that it is rewarding to gain knowledge also. But in every field of life we know that knowledge is for the purpose of acting upon it. If we get the knowledge that something is beneficial, then we want to acquire it. If a person gets the knowledge that your investment in a certain property market is going to bring great returns and is not going to cause you heart problem and is not going to cause you a rise of your blood pressure or lowering your blood pressure as the recent crashes caused. So then this person wants to acquire such kind of investment where he can have some kind of peace of mind and there will be some kind of progress. So this is human nature, that if we come to know that it improves the quality of life, or it will give a person something of value and worth, then we want to implement it. And if we are informed that, look, if you have to invest in this portfolio, or if you have to undertake this journey through this route, or if you have to do such and such a thing, then or you have to marry this particular woman or marry that particular boy, or if you have to engage in any other kind of activity, then that particular activity is going to cause you great harm, then every intelligent person wants to run far away from there. That is the purpose of that knowledge, whatever kind that knowledge is. But if it's the knowledge of benefit, then we want to benefit. If it is the knowledge of harm, then we want to stay away. So which knowledge that was of benefit to us is there that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not give it to us? Whether it was of benefit to us in this world or in the qabr or in the akhirat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us of all those things. And anything and everything that was going to cause this human being harm, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just for some group of Muslims. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was Nabi kaffatal linnas, bashiram wa nadira, he was for all mankind. After that, those who accepted will benefit, those who did not accept will not benefit. But the fact is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his teachings were for the entire mankind. The believers were the great beneficiaries of it, but his teachings were for the entire mankind. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us of all the things that were beneficial to us and of all those things that are going to cause harm to us. So therefore, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, all that we heard about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then there is a need that now we take some stock, that what percentage of that knowledge has come into our lives. The time is very limited and we cannot talk in 15-20 minutes on the 23 years of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam after receiving the Nubuwwat, although the first thing that was created was the Noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But this Zuhur came in the cave of Hira in the 40th year of his life, and from there another 23 years, of which 3 was the Zamana of Fatrat as is called. But how can any person ever discuss the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a limited amount of time? People have written volumes and volumes. People have spent all their lives just discussing some special characteristic or some special part of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, and they just can't do justice to it. That was our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we are not going to benefit until we implement it in our lives. There's one hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which again comes to mind at this very moment, and that is in Bukhari sharif. If we look at just one part of that hadith sharif, yet there's so much in it, but if we look at just one part of that hadith sharif, it's a lengthy hadith sharif, and it's in Bukhari sharif, but it is reported by Hazrat Atwa radiallahu ta'ala, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah ta'ala says, that means hadith Qudsi, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadira wa hirzan lil ummiyin. Oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have sent you as a witness. We have sent you as a witness. Shahida wa mubashira, and a one who gives glad tidings. Those people who are going to obey, those who are going to listen, those who are going to implement his teachings in their lives, then glad tidings for them. And warning for those people who are not going to practice, warning for those people who are going to disobey, warning for those people who are going to be arrogant, those people who are going to just make a mockery and ridicule and criticize the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will say that this is all just fairy tales, so then for them there's a great warning. And we have seen how the warning of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into action. It's not that he just gave that warning and nothing happened. Or he gave those glad tidings and nothing happened. When he gave those glad tidings, those Sahaba-e-Kiram, his companions, those who accepted it, although they went through difficulties, trials, tests and all kinds of hardships and pain and suffering in the early stages, but those promises that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made were fulfilled. You can see how they became conquerors, how they became victorious in whichever lands they went, how with their small numbers and with minorities, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory, Allah ta'ala gave them dominance, Allah ta'ala put their respect and their awe and dignity into the hearts of people. Whomsoever they came into contact, they changed the entire life of that person. There was a total reformation, total transformation. There was no need, in fact, for even the sword or any kind of arms and ammunition to change the heart of a person. Because through arms and ammunition and through the sword, you can't change the heart of a person. The heart of a person, they will become more anger, more hatred and more dislike for a person who is using force. Will force ever bring happiness into anyone's heart? So all those who say that these people were conquering the world and they were conquering the people by sword. So what was the difficulty in those people just accepting Islam outwardly and after that just saying that we don't believe with our heart? Can anybody look right into the heart whether they believe or don't believe? So they were conquering the hearts of the people. The ammunition that they had was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with that akhlaq they were conquering the hearts of the people. Their swords were that akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore in this hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that he sent him as a person who is going to give glad tidings and who is going as a warner to those people who disbelieve, to those people who ridicule, criticize, mock and tease. If there is a weakness, it is our weakness. Islam is very, very powerful and strong. People who say Islam has gone weak in the world, Islam has never gone weak and it will never go weak. How can Islam ever become weak? What has gone weak is the Muslim in the world has gone weak. That we do not want Islam in our lives. We want Islam in the lives of the entire humanity. And therefore we have our programs and conferences and seminars and big, big functions because we want to bring Islam into the life of the people of the world. But we do not want that Islam to come into this little body of ours. We do not want Islamic teachings which are related to the eyes to be in the eyes. The Islamic teachings that are in the books are not supposed to be in the books. These days when a person is accepting Islam, then we say read a certain book on Islam and you will get to know more about Islam. Whereas Islam was supposed to be in the life of every Muslim with whomsoever he associated. If he associated with a businessman, then he found the Islamic teachings of business in the life of that businessman. The teachings of Islam with regards to the eyes and gaze was in the gaze and sight of that Muslim. The teachings of Islam with regards to the tongue, that you must not speak lies, that you must not take false oath and qasam, that you must not swear, that you must not use vulgar language, that with this tongue you must not utter words and statements of kufr and shirk. Now all these things which were teachings of Islam with regards to the tongue were in the tongue of every Muslim. So therefore, if any person came into contact with a Muslim, then he was extremely happy and pleased because nothing but sweetness he found in the tongue of a Muslim. Unlike us today, that every little quarrel and argument, and look at the kind of language that we use, and look at the limits that we go to, just to ridicule a person, to criticize a person, to demoralize a person, to bring down the person, that is our character. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his teachings were in the lives of every companion of his. And as a result, wherever they went, whoever came into touch with them, whoever came into contact with them, they were influenced by them. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, who used the sword on him? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, we know that he led those battles in the battle of Uhud, what kind of harm was caused to the Muslims for a period of time. It was due to the planning and strategy and the great wisdom of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. But when Allah ta'ala blesses him with Islam, then that same Khalid bin Walid becomes Saifullah. Now he becomes the sword of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then look at what he does after that. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he sets out with a sword to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala gives him hidayat, and when he accepts the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he becomes an Amirul Mu'mineen. And after that, look at his life as an Amirul Mu'mineen. The emperors of the world used to shiver when they hear the name of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Allah ta'ala blesses him with resting place near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Rauza Mubarak. Now that is Allah ta'ala's way. That we have to make the correct effort, we have to have Islam in our lives. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told in this hadith sharif that anta abdi wa rasuli, you are my very, very special kind of servant. If we have to just expand on this one word, we can go on the whole day and night. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that you are my abd, you are my banda, but a very special kind of banda. Like that we also say, tu hai banda khuda ka khuda ki qasam, we all are bandas of Allah ta'ala. But is it the same? Are we the same like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are also bandas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah ta'ala says, you are my banda, it means a very, very special kind of bond and connection that Allah ta'ala had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot even imagine that kind of bond and connection. The banda that he was, that he surpasses all the angels, he becomes Imamul Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam. He leads the prophets in prayer in Masjid Al-Aqsa in the night of Mi'raj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he surpasses all the angels. Even Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the most or the greatest of all the angels. Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the night of Mi'raj, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, O Nabi of Allah, beyond this now I cannot go, otherwise I will burn to ash. Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche Nabi, sar jhuka kar ye Jibreel kehne lage, اے رسول خدا اب سوا آپ کے اس سے آگے جو جائے گا جل جائے گا. So that's the kind of Nabi he was. That's the kind of banda he was. Anta abdi wa rasooli. And you are my special messenger. Very selected. No election business that everybody will now elect you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his selection from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam as the Imamul Anbiya. Therefore, when Hazrat Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha picked up the body of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as a little baby when he was picked up because he was yatim and nobody wanted to take him, it was the good luck and good fortune of Hazrat Halima that she took him. She says, look at the barkat that she saw after picking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up, although he was a yatim child. That camel which was very lean and very weak and very slow on which he had come, now the camel was the fastest. Those animals which had no milk, were not giving any milk that they had in their home or in the yard or in the farm. Now those camels were full of milk when they returned from the farm. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was born also, nothing but purity, nothing but cleanliness. There is no najasat of any kind. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that even his perfume, his sweat and perspiration was such that Umm Sulaym used to gather that. And when there's some nikah or walima, so at that time, people used to bring their most expensive perfume and they used to add some drop of the perspiration of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His fingers, water gushed forth from it. Can anybody's fingers water gush forth? Army of 1200 people or more or less, whatever different numbers have been mentioned, but the fact is that they all drank from that water. Their water bags were filled. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, when his eye falls off from the socket, he just takes it on the palm of his hand, puts it there and just passes his hand. And that sight in that eye was far better than even the other eye. Now anybody can undertake operations of that kind. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, anta abdi, you are my banda. But a very, very special kind of banda. Now if we have to just discuss that, it's a different subject altogether. And wa rasooli, and you are my rasool, a very special messenger of mine. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, you are my Rasul. Like how we say, it's mine, you are mine. Allah ta'ala says, you are mine. My very special Rasul. Now that again is another subject. But I just want to go very quickly to the next two, three parts of that hadith sharif, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is then told, anta abdi wa rasooli, sammaitukal mutawakkil. I have named you. Allah ta'ala says, I have named you. Sammaitukal mutawakkil. I have named you mutawakkil, the one who has absolute trust in me. That was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That special banda that we are talking about. That special rasul that we are talking about. Sammaitukal mutawakkil, that you are mutawakkil. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His trust in Allah ta'ala when he's leaving from his home and making hijrat. Now when a person knows that his whole house is surrounded by so many enemies and with swords in their hands and they're ready to assassinate him as soon as he steps out, Can any person have that confidence that he just reads some ayat of the Quran Sharif and blows them and walks away from between them and that nothing ever happens? Look at that trust that Allah Ta'ala will protect you. Yasimuka minan nas. Allah Ta'ala had assured him that we will protect you. Look at the trust that he had in Allah Ta'ala. When he was in the cave of Sur. Now at that time, what kind of security was there? We talk about security alarms and security systems and this security and that security. The security for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, every little child of Islamic history knows that it was those wild doves that had laid, the pigeons that had laid their eggs there, and the web of a spider, that is the security. No real aluminium and steel gates, the web of a spider. And who is inside the cave? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala explained his apprehension and fear, not for himself, it was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's safety. Comfortably, confidently, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, La tahzan, inna allaha ma'ana. Oh Abu Bakr, why are you so concerned? Inna allaha ma'ana. Don't grieve, don't be afraid. Allah is with us. Look at that confidence, look at that tawakkul. Look at in the battle of Badr with his 313 and the tawakkul. Look at in Uhud and the tawakkul. Look everywhere the tawakkul and trust of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Allah ta'ala. Yet in spite of all that tawakkul and all that trust, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still made use of the means. For the battle of Uhud there was a preparation. For the battle of Khandaq there was a preparation. There was a digging of the trench. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is tying stones on his belly because of hunger and starvation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is assisting and helping them in the digging of the trench. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes with coat of arms into the battle of Uhud. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he wears his helmet. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam plans, prepares, strategizes, does everything. Giving a lesson to the ummah that you are in the world of means, so make use of the means. But after that, follow it up with your duas. The tears of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the deep-hearted duas of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the changes that it brought. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us that we make use of means, but we do not become slaves of those means. We will use burglar guards and alarm systems and security systems and everything. But this moment in time, the condition of the ummah is that the moment we make use of some means, then we come to conclusion. Now nobody can hijack you, nobody can kill you, nobody can murder you, nobody can break into your house. Because look at the kind of sophisticated security system that you have adopted. That is not a Muslim. So nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, سَمَّيْتُكَ الْمُتَوَكِّلِ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَرَسُولِي سَمَّيْتُكَ الْمُتَوَكِّلِ لَيْسَ بِفَزٍ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ وَلَا سَخَّابٍ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ لَيْسَ بِفَزٍ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ. Just to give you the meaning, now we don't have much time, or just to give a very, very brief explanation, that the rest of that part is فَزٍ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ وَلَا سَخَّابٍ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that you are not hard-hearted. The translation of the meaning that is given of fuzz is that you are not crude, you are not rude, you are not coarse, you are not harsh, you are not difficult a person to deal with, to talk to, associate with. That means Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had such wonderful characteristics, such beautiful character. There was nothing but sweetness in his words. There was nothing but beauty in his character. There was nothing but beauty and handsomeness in his face. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the relationship with even his enemies. Let us read the books of hadith and see what he did to those people who were thirsty for his blood. We cannot even forgive a brother, we cannot forgive a sister, we cannot forgive a nephew and a niece. I mentioned the other night in a Saturday night program, try and get the tape and listen to it. All those people who are having some kind of family problems and other kinds of disputes, get the tape of last Saturday night. It was an informal majlis here. And rest assured that not 1 cent from the tape sale will come to me. Otherwise you might think Maulana is promoting now tape sale from the masjid. It's from the library there, whatever, whoever wants to get it. But alhamdulillah, I can tell you that lots of people have benefited from it. What I was saying there is that irrespective of who is the cause of the injustice in the home or in the family or in the life of people, because whenever there's a dispute, there's an argument, there's a quarrel, there's a somewhat, whatever it is, then someone is definitely unjust. Now, irrespective of who that unjust person is, whether it's the wife or the husband, whether it's the parents or the children, whether it's the brothers or the sisters or whoever it may be. But Injustice brings azab of Allah Ta'ala. Whenever a person is unjust, it brings the azab of Allah Ta'ala. Now when that azab and that punishment and the wrath and the anger of Allah will descend, irrespective of who is the one that is wrong, who will suffer? If it descends in our home because of somebody that is unjust, somebody that is drinking, somebody that is gambling, somebody that is taking the drugs, somebody that is swearing and cursing the mother and the parents, somebody that is abusing the wife and the children. Now whoever that person is, but when that azab will come, the whole house will suffer. Because it's coming on him. But if it comes on him, the wife must suffer. The children will suffer. And if he's arrested, then the whole house will suffer. So whatever it is, it becomes our duty that we either forgive, make an effort to change the condition of the other person and cry before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and don't curse, because if the azab comes, all suffer. So we say, why should they suffer? I've explained there that if a person is arrested because of murder and he's put into prison, then nobody says after that when the judge passes a judgment that he must go for life, that, oh judge, his children will suffer, his wife will suffer. They we all accept it. So in this world also, Allah Ta'ala, how is he going to punish a person without the other suffering? But those who suffer innocently, for them it's a great blessing. In disguise, Allah Ta'ala gives them his rahmat, Allah Ta'ala gives forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala elevates their status. And in different forms, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them his bounties. Now that is again another subject on its own. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to implement in our lives the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Ta'ala says, you are neither harsh nor hard-hearted, and all the other characteristics that have been mentioned. And the need is to bring those things in our life. Look at our treatment in the home of our staff, of our maids, our people that work for us in the businesses. If you have to look at it, it becomes very, very shocking. Now the time is expired, so therefore I'm ending my bayan, making dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal on whatever we have been listening from the beginning of Rabiul Awwal and all our lives, not only in the month of Rabiul Awwal, about the beautiful teachings, the characteristics, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For when that will come, then you will find peace, harmony, sukoon, tranquility and everything of the best in this world and in the akhirah. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering and problem of the ummah around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.